I guess without further ado, it's about 3 minutes after. I can give you the updates that I have. Last week, Ellie, Allison, myself, and Tammy and Liz from EBC all sat down. We've got all of the positions hashed out. Aside from titles changing relatively slightly, nothing drastic, we are okay. While we were in that meeting, since this is, I guess I'll say, probably the most priority thing right now to go over, Tammy did, while she was there, instead of submitting the P11 form into the county, she added it and then just asked that I fill out the form and then send it back to the county. So that's in the mail. That's sent into the county officially. But while Tammy was on site, the second part-time deputy, second part-time code enforcement officer has been approved for the town, and we're all set there. Under civil service guidelines, I guess for the record, so to speak, is that the town does have the ability to create a position. However, it does have to follow through civil service guidelines, and then essentially we can use that position up to 60 days. Anything over that, we're technically in violation potentially of civil service. There's a whole bunch of law that plays around this, so this is not just a cookie-cutter answer, but the answer kind of... some of the questions that we all had, and then questions that you positioned to me and that I had asked Tammy, the town has the ability to do that. However, we cannot change job descriptions. The moment we change any civil service job description, it changes how it's, it potentially can change how it's classified, potentially under state law, put in a position that would then need to follow any and all civil service guidelines. So she said, be very, very careful. She said, if there's ever a question, it's always easier to make the phone call or drop an email to her or anyone else at the county, under the civil service to make sure that we're compliant, because non-compliance, could potentially, create some problems. So we've got most of the things, straightened out, cleaned up. Liz is compiling that list. As soon as she has that to me and all those updates, then we can tie that in, run it out by the rest of you on the board, which then would tie into the employee manual and the, the last part of, the employee audit file and getting our I-9s and other documents up to where it needs to be. So that's the update from the meeting from Tammy. Tammy Burns is the main point of contact there. I know Kathy's done, has had some interaction with the county, obviously, before in her position with the town, but there's been some changes over there. And kind of the interesting thing that I learned is that, I know this brought up the last meeting. I shouldn't even laugh. It's really sad, is what it is. But essentially, what ended up happening is the software program that they use to warehouse everything, where the remark was made at the last meeting that it takes forever for the county to reply. The county, come to find out, uses a version of Beal's software. The Beal's software server went down. They lost all of their data, and they had to pay a small fortune to basically retrieve encrypted data because it was in a proprietary file format. So, I feel comfortable saying that to all of you and in this, kind of setting. But anyway, that is what took the county so long historically, even when, and we are talking about years. Yes, we are. But that is why, because the past commissioner who was in charge of that department believed in paper. We all know what happened in 2020. In the year 2000, there's big pushes for everything to go electronic, get off of paper. Well, that switch happened, and ironically, they went back to paper for a while because their server with all of their data literally went down, and they were scrambling to try to find requests and other things. So that's all the follow-up I have from that conversation. I don't know if anybody has any questions or anything for me on that, but I'll pause for a moment in case you do.
So there was a list of items that positions that required
civil service.
Yeah, so there was a number of positions that were identified, right? They were listed out, and are we compliant with all of them? And the ones that we are not, who would be able to work on the plan to get those folks up to par that are currently in those positions?
Good question. And yes, as I'm very happy to say that as of right now, we are set. Tammy sat down with us. We were there almost 3 hours, going through each and every position, making sure that we were, you know, compliant, et cetera. Positions that needed to be, quote unquote, retitled. That's part of that list that Liz is compiling for us. And then bridging that into the employee handbook, which is, again, taking a little bit of time, but, you know, properly reporting those job duties. Right now, we are compliant. It's not going to affect anyone, which was obviously, you know, the town board's ultimate goal. We didn't want to lose anybody or make any changes from our appointments. It was just a matter, and the way I positioned this, well, Ellie and I both positioned this to Tammy, is that we did not, you know, we did not seek to make any changes to our staffing, but how can we get this done while, you know, meeting all the other requirements? Because there were certain positions that were there that weren't approved, that weren't on the county's list, and it was just a matter of making sure that both, I guess I'll say both records were meshing up and they matched. They now match, we're compliant. Nobody has to worry about, you know, positions, et cetera, but it's just, you know, the way that they're classified for the job title. And Tammy had sent over, it's a document that I had received actually my first year, you know, when I first came in, and Tammy brought this to our attention back in year one, but it's like a 70-page document with all the different job descriptions out there. So that's what the town, you know, should be using going forward, and we should not be changing that. So if we do have, for an example, perfect example, a code enforcement, you know, we're looking to post for another code enforcement officer, we utilize that job description. We should not really be deviating from that job description. If we so choose, we should be sending it to the county first, making sure that they are in agreement with it, and at which point they will basically give us the green light, and it goes in our quote-unquote town file from there, that is a, you know, an okay job description. So that's what we were instructed / told from the county.
Jason, also a lot of it was our nutrition program, because we had them under the rec, and that was one of our 3-hour discussions in there, because the wondering, because we now have a boys and girls club, how we do put our nutrition program underneath that. And she was very helpful with that too, and ended up straightening that out for us. So that was really good.
Yeah. So like I said, no changes to personnel needed. And that information, I would love to see. Hopefully, I have reached out to Liz actually earlier this week. She was hoping to have it by the meeting, and I will admit she did not have the opportunity to get that done. But anyway, as soon as that hits my in bin, that will be sent out to all of you to review, and we'll make that, you know, we'll have that discussion at an upcoming board meeting, and then you know, just basically make the via resolution, just to say that we're making those changes. That's the right
thing. Okay. So at this point, those positions that are identified as civil service positions, if the person does not have their civil service certificate,
they go and take a test, so there's
they will need to, or if that person leaves the position, then we will require that. Like, how
we're okay, but if it's okay. Civil service, we have to go off of the list,
right? The list,
yes, and that is for all of the candidates. In some cases there's none, some cases there might be, let's say hypothetically, 50, 100, who knows? But yes, you would go off of that list.
Okay.
And then for the town of Boston, and I've said this a few times, but, you know, the town of Boston, residency is preferred, but it is not required.
Right. Okay.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but in that case, there'd be hardly any time that we would have to go off a list in our circumstance as it is right now.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. Right. That was the goal, is that we would try to get it. Truthfully, we would try to stay away from that. You're absolutely right. And that was one of my takeaways from the discussion with all of us as board members. We did not want to affect our current staff that we had and we had already appointed. And so that's where we made some of the changes. So we are we're compliant with the county listing. Yep, so we do not have to worry about that going forward.
So did we have to worry about it before?
Yes. I don't have it right in front of me, but I should have had this prepared. There were two positions that were classified as civil service, and they're basically being moved to clerical type tasks.
Okay, so you're changing the verbiage a little bit, I guess.
Exactly. We're merely changing the title for the employee, right? It doesn't affect things. Let's say, for an example, you know, one of the recommendations from the county was that, you know, while we have the assessment clerk, things like that, we should have assessment office or clerk through the assessment office. There are very subtle changes, but it falls in line with what the county/civil service guidelines are looking for. And they, you know, thank God, we don't have to make any staffing changes. So
what about the 19 hours a week?
Yeah, good question, Kathy. The 19 hours a week that not that you were worried about it, that Sue was concerned about. So we, as we know, just went through this with at our reorganizational meeting. Civil service guidelines and law is very clear on part-time hours. The hours that we establish, in that office are based off of our reorganizational meeting. So, you know, we don't have to necessarily worry about that. What we as board members need to be concerned about and watch and monitor is should the assessment office come to the board seeking additional hours, et cetera. We just have to manage it because, you know, that's our fiduciary, you know, our financial responsibility to the taxpayers that, you know, we have to monitor and watch, if it hits the department head, kind of on that first layer, if you will, because the department is supposed to be managing their budget that the town board provides to them. But then if we approve additional overtime hour, you know, overage in hours, we just have to make sure that we're not pushing that position into a clerk position that could potentially be deemed as a civil service position. So that's how that all kind of, the way it was explained to us, is that's how that ties in, which is why we have to watch the hours, because after the consecutive weeks of part-time work going over the hours, it could be potentially deemed as a civil service position. That's how it was explained to us. So as long as we manage the time and we stay under those thresholds, you should never have to worry about this.
So we're deemed a particular size level town, right? If that growth continues, at what point and who would be the person or the department that says we are now reaching that next level size town that would require a change in our staffing as well? I don't think we're even close, but I don't.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. So if I'm understanding your question and stop me if I'm not. If I'm understanding your question, so basically, how I would predict this would happen is that at some point throughout the year, the department head would come to the town board and state that they need an additional, staffer headcount, however you want to look at it from, your perspectives for that office. At that point in time, depending on the skill set that's being requested, that's what then starts to build the framework of is this or is this not a civil service job, and then after that, once that's identified, then we follow the guidelines and that are basically already established.
Yeah. No, it's the level of the town.
That Sean, doesn't change.
We're Class B.
Thank you. And
we're a Class B town, and we'd have to go to 10,000 or above to go to Class A.
There's a town of a first class, town of a second class. But that would not affect job descriptions. You know, for an example, if you look at the larger municipalities, Hamburg, Amherst, Orchard Park, etc. Lancaster, they are basically doing the same process. We're smaller. We don't have a lot of turnover or attrition for that matter, thankfully. So we don't interact on a frequent basis. But, yes, if we were to grow, but that would all be, I guess there's a process for this. If somebody, if a department comes to us as a board and says they need an additional staff, what is the staff? Is it a clerical position? Okay. We have these job titles that we can work within that are not deemed as civil service, do not have to be pulled from a list. Okay, that's an option. If it falls under that list or that category that is potentially civil service, that's the different conversation to be had at that point in time and decide how, we as a board/department head move forward on that request.
I guess I was more looking just at the number of properties that have been split and more housing and more people coming into the town, more the need for a structural change? And when would that start hitting us? But we're really not that, we're not there yet. So
no.
At some point though, in the, you know, 10 years, maybe 15 years, right? Because we have seen an influx of people coming in and additional properties being split off. So I don't know what the future holds for us, but I think it's a wonderful thing. It's just keeping an eye on, you know, what's going on in the town, and are we able to keep up with what the influx of changes and additional properties, right? As much as I like to keep farmland, I can't always tell the landowner what you want them to do. So they would split that off and more families and more, you know, residents. So that's all. Okay. Thanks for listening.
No, it's okay. All right. Anything else on that topic? Like I said, as soon as I get the information, I'll be sure to send it out to all of you for, you know, for review, discussion, et cetera. All right. With no other comment there, I guess two other, you know, we do have tonight the retention of the bond council. I don't know if there's any questions there, but obviously, you know, water's one of the big things that we're all looking at right now, and that's going to be on, you know, that's going to be something, a topic of discussion for quite a few more years to come, so to speak, as we, you know, break this out into phases and, you know, move through this process. So the bond council, we did reach out to, three different entities, and, you know, for quotes, the resolution that's out there tonight was the lower of the quotes. They do have a working relation, actually both Hodgson Russ and the bond council that we're going to be soon working with, Air Speech, they both have a working relationship with Clark Patterson Lee. I was up in Sue's office, or the assessor's office, respectfully, the other day, meeting with Sue and Ashley, because Clark Patterson Lee is looking for some information on water. So we're you know, getting all those numbers and putting that together. So once that report is compiled and we have all of the codes and everything where they, you know, from the assessor's office, where we have those where we need to be, then that will start the framework of what we're looking at, you know, as I guess I'll say, a more definitive and solid numbers as we look at the water tanks and the water line repairs that are needed throughout the community. So, and then that, based off that report, that'll also assist us with any eligible, you know, grant funding and opportunities, which, you know, between Steve Tanner from Clark Patterson Lee and Connie Miner, they're, you know, they're out there watching, but they're, at least as of right now, there's nothing there. We sort of know as of today, after the inauguration, we have new leadership at the federal level, so we'll have to see what, you know, what kind of you know, strategies and funding that they decide to come to the table with as we move forward with this, but that's that'll all come together as we move through the process here. So that's water. Drainage, just a quick update on drainage. I did have a meeting with Joanna from the Erie County Water Quality Committee. Myself, Rebecca, Kathy was on the call as well. But we do have an opportunity for an intern from Erie County to help assist with some of this. So that'll, you know, it's nice because it'll help offset some of the associated engineering costs. We basically kind of put our heads together and tried to identify tasks, especially in the middle of a pandemic and COVID and limited, you know, interaction with people and all the other facets that we all have to contend with right now. But we do have an individual from UB, University of Buffalo, that is willing to kind of help us out with some of this. So, you know, it was a great conversation. And then for the Erie County soil and water area, we've been slowly pulling in some additional drainage maps, outfall maps from our MS4 for the water district, and you know, that'll start to, you know, kind of paint the picture of our drainage plan for the town. So when Mark Gaston is from Erie County Soil and Water is helping out Kathy or/ the town board with any kind of drainage issues, whether it's, you know, I guess I'll call it a private property type scenario to a larger scope town or something that affects multiple residents, At least we have a few, hopefully a few different options in our toolbox of solutions to start addressing these drainage issues versus talking about them year after year. So I thought it was a good meeting. I don't know, if Kathy wants to chime in and add anything. I think Kathy dialed in from work. So thank you, Kathy, if you took time out of your busy work schedule to dial in for that.
It was fine. It was a good meeting. It's always good to help a new young intern learning the field. And I think it's like a win-win. We get some good experience from him being monitored and mentored by his superiors, and he could do some of the grunt work too. So it's good.
Yep. So, and the only other thing I really had that I was going to bring up tonight, and just so all of you know, because at the end of the day, we're all elected officials on this, most of us, other than the residents on the call. But for those of us who are elected officials, whether it's town clerk or highway superintendent or any of us on the board, I had a call with the county executive last Monday. Of course, this has been hitting the mainstream media for the past roughly 2 weeks. I'm not going to make this political. I'm just going to relay the information and the facts as I have them. But the 1A and 1B vaccines, at least for myself, I have been contacted regarding when residents can sign up. They think that in some cases, residents think that the town of Boston is helping out with this. We're not yet. I'll build on that in a minute when I said Boston is not helping out yet. But essentially, it is what it is. The vaccines, there's not enough supply for the demand that is out there right now. It is where it is. And again, this is in the media, so I'm comfortable sharing this information as of last Monday. Not all of this was in the media. So for what it's worth, the 1A and 1B, they're looking at a vaccination timeline of potentially the end of April. Some other predictions are as late as June and July. Not what any of us want to hear. When residents are reaching out to us regarding vaccine administration being canceled or other things, obviously they're getting upset with the county executive, the state government, federal government, and kind of inadvertently local governments kind of being dragged into this because we are elected officials and we are government. One of the things that came up on the call on Monday, just to let you all know, is the county executive had asked if any municipalities had the means or had a building that they were willing to potentially offer being utilized to administer the vaccine. At least as of right now, sadly enough, we don't have many events other than our blood drives and you're a polling place for election day. But I kind of tossed Boston as a potential contender, opportunity out there, I'll say, for a vaccine site. The county is basically looking for EMTs, medical professionals, doctors, nurses, even retired ones for that matter, to administer the vaccine. If they don't have all the skill sets, they can go through a training program through the county and to administer the vaccines when they are available. And again, they're looking for site locations. Myself and Missy Hartman over in Eden, we both offered up our municipalities as an area for the South Downs. And, again, this is all very early preliminary. This is not definitive. So, I feel comfortable sharing it here. I'm actually kind of, happy to say, it here in a public forum. But right now, there's nothing set in stone that Boston will be a location. But as far as the vaccine goes, it's all supply and demand. It's as quick as the federal government and state government can supply it to the counties for distribution. So, with that being said, obviously, there's some concerned residents in our community that have at least reached out to me. I don't know about any of you, but right now it's just a matter of how many vaccines the vials of the vaccine are actually being administered. I did also ask, it's one of those scenarios where since it's a two-part vaccine, I did ask what the window of time is from the first vaccine to the second round is, and it's 28 days. And I had asked what would be the downside if somebody was outside of 28 days, would they have to go repeat that process again? The answer to that is possibly. They didn't give a definitive answer, but they simply were aware of that, and that's why they're actually canceling appointments, because they're trying to make sure that people do not fall outside of that window of time. So something that sounds like we're going to be dealing with for the next few months, even just as citizens, not even as elected officials, but I just wanted to give you all a heads up on that. That's a scenario that might be coming down. The county will formally ask, but I actually just received an email today. I haven't even fully read all of the information out of it yet, but we're trying to identify, I'm just jumping back to my email, we're trying to identify like first responders and others that either do or do not want to have the vaccine, locations of, municipalities are willing to offer up either fire departments, police departments, or municipal buildings to provide the vaccines, identify people in your municipality that can give the vaccine, kind of what I touch base on, which is either a pharmacist, paramedic, or other medical professional, the bigger part here is, and I didn't realize this initially, it was not something that was discussed up until this email, but after the vaccine, there's a requirement for a 15-minute waiting area after the vaccine is provided. So I guess that'll be something that will logistically have to be taken into account. And again, it's a lot of this is coming directly from the county right now. So that is an update on the vaccine that I have for everyone. And outside of that, that's all I really have. So I don't know if anybody else has anything that they want to talk about or bring up.
So I had initiated a conversation with the board members on changing liaison appointments with Kelly. I didn't know if any of you had read that or have any ideas or thoughts. It would be temporary at this point until we can get things rolling smoothly with our zoning and planning boards, since those boards really help run this this town. So just wondered if anybody had any thoughts on some of the temporary changes.
I think it's great. It's fine. Do we have to do that, approve it formally at a board meeting, just temporarily?
I don't know. That's why I figured I'd just bring it up. So Kelly and I have been in conversation together anyway. So after I sent that out, I keep thinking it's only temporary. So I don't know if we even need to make that change at this point, but thought I'd throw that out there.
Sean, do you have any opinion on that?
I don't think that needs any kind of formal action if the board members wanted to agree among themselves to swap positions.
Okay, there we go.
Jennifer, I have some thoughts on that. I know that you and Kelly have been involved with both of the boards, in light of everything going on. I've been, involved in that too. I mean, I don't know that we officially need to change anything on that. I don't see a benefit to that because, we're doing what you should be doing as, as officials when, there's a need and an unintended situation. You circle the wagons and you work together to, get it moving in the right direction, like we've discussed on a short-term basis and a long-term basis. What happened with the county, now that we have the approval for our second code enforcement officer, that's going to be a big help. Sandy's been a terrific, support system there. She stands at the ready and has dedicated, her commitment to for the minutes. There's a number of us wearing that hat. So, I think we should just leave those the way that they are, because they've been set for the year, and we're just filling in to support each other where we see the benefit of that or see an opportunity to do that. And I think in the spirit of running the town, that's really what you need to do.
Okay, we'll do. Keep it as it is. We are scheduling the next meeting for the ZBA for the the normal first Thursday of the month. So moving forward on that. Anna, Kelly, myself, and Kathy have already been in discussions to make sure everybody has what they need. So thanks for everyone's help and patience as we figure this out. So thank you.
All right. You know, one other quick thing, actually, as I'm, I just happened to, I was looking over my notes here. The one thing I wanted to ask everyone to see if there's any, I guess I'll say, concern or hesitation. The state troopers are looking at conducting some drone training. Of course, they rent the troop barracks from the town of Boston. It's town property, but they would like to offer. Not necessarily for us, but obviously for other state troopers. But they want to do drone training on town property. The Erie County Sheriff does do dog training. They don't ask permission. They probably should, technically speaking. But anyway, the state troopers have respectfully asked permission to perform training on town property, whether it's there at the troop barracks and flying the small drone / large drone on or over town property. And then potentially even flying it, let's say, for example, there at the troop barracks, they stage the example that I was given, that they would stage a car with like a person or two in it, and they would fly the drone, you know, down to kind of observe the car and get a feel for how to circle around the car and do a perimeter search and things like that. That is one component. Second component, there is another request because of it's the technology world we live in. They would like to also potentially, nothing definitive yet, but potentially use the town hall for training. Reason being is that we're one of the few establishments in town that is a public building that has a stairwell. Because what they're looking to do is have their smaller drones that are about the size of a smartphone essentially enter an exterior door entrance in the building, go into the town hall, and then navigate up and down the stairs just to kind of get a feel for that. Go in and out of rooms, so things of that nature. So, you know, what I had offered is that, you know, if that was the case, probably try to keep it isolated to the downstairs. So there's obviously this would all be after hours, nothing during operational times. Just again, we're brainstorming and you know, kicking ideas back and forth. But essentially, I said I could open up the community room doors. I could certainly open up the doors to the boiler room or even a janitorial closet or even the restroom, since nobody was there. They could, you know, navigate in and out. Anyway, that's a request from the state troopers. After speaking with our insurance company and even speaking with Sean, of course, the recommendation, as you might imagine, would be to have them fill out a use facility. And then also that under their insurance, according to our insurance carrier, NYMER, they had said that because drones are in effect an aircraft, most liability policies don't necessarily cover, God forbid something was to happen, you know, a rotor was to, you know, break apart or it was to crash into a wall. So because it's an aircraft, that kind of like we request from others that use our use facility, that under their aircraft insurance, that they list Town of Boston as an additional insured, and then we would be protected. Any concerns, any discussion anybody wants to have, I will pause and see what everybody's thoughts are.
My only thing is something we should consider is maybe publicizing this, just because of the outside drones. People might be freaked out thinking other people with just private drones are like spying on them, because I've heard some of that type of talk on Facebook and other venues from a resident that lives behind me that uses his drone.
Those conversations about drone, yeah. The world of Facebook and how people will deal with drones, right? I'll leave it at that.
If it hovers right above your roof at night and goes slowly and hovers over your property, I will shoot it down. And I have called the state troopers and I have told them that. And he said, well, then I guess you won't have a problem with the drone anymore. If they would provide an informative type of announcement that they're going to do that, and what their location, their intended location is. So if people do call, A, they're going to know it for the state troopers, but the town can also be able to respond as well. And that's what I would ask them.
Okay. The only thing I will say on that, I'm not being argumentative by my reply here, but they wanted to keep it relatively low-key because of the fact that they do not want to draw attention of the public and having public, individuals congregate and, witness.
Right. I get that. It's just if they would just call, like, the supervisor's office just to say, this is going to be the area. If you have any complaints, this is who we are.
It would be strictly on town property, so we wouldn't have to worry about any private residences, things of that nature.
Oh, okay.
Strictly at town park. So could you potentially have a resident walking through the town park, walking their dogs through the town park, which they do every day, kind of wonder what's going on? I think I think the larger law enforcement presence of the New York State Police and all of their cars, because this is it's Troop A, Troop B, basically everybody from Clarence down into Allegheny County. They're going to invite any of the drone pilots because they need, I'm not well versed in this, so forgive me for any of you are.
I think they need the hours.
Right. They call it stick time is what they need. They need stick time navigating and moving around. So, again, I apologize if any of you are more well versed in the world of drones. feel free to correct me on my proper technical verbiage. So,
but it is flight time. I think if they want some real life training, they should also reach out to our parks guy, Scott, to create some real life scenarios for them to encounter back there. I'm sure he would have a field day with that. The only thing I would say related to the interior of the building is to make sure the people that are working inside the building know fully well what times these things are going to happen. We have ladies in the building that may not appreciate a drone flying.
It's all people after hours.
They wear dresses, like that. That's something that you should be, notifying, unless it's going to be after hours, and then make sure the building is secure. I know that people sometimes like to work late, particularly, Sandy. So just, make sure that the people in the town hall, the employees of the town hall know that, the interior work is going to be done.
Yeah, that's why I said, it's all going to be strictly after hours. It'd be like on a weekend, more than likely. It'd be definitely after hours to for anything, if they even choose to do the interior. I have not heard back from Tom yet.
I would kind of not want them to be inside. I just feel like them opening doors up at night and flying around, it doesn't seem right to me. I mean, what if they bump into Sandy's backboard there and messes up all our papers? You don't know if there's damage that could be done by a drone at night, and liability if they, said maybe they damaged their drone and all of a sudden now they want us to pay for it. I know that's what insurance is for, but there could be other damage that maybe isn't in dollars, but it's in, your stuff that's there, and now it's moved, or I don't know. I would feel uncomfortable about that, but how do you feel about that, Sandy?
That's why I said it'll be only to the downstairs, Kathy. I did not want them upstairs. I mean, they're going to be going up and down the stairwell, but in and out of doors. That's why I said they could utilize the community room, the janitor room, or the men's or ladies' room downstairs with the That was my assumption. This is actually something that Tom, it's not something I thought of, it's something that Tom said, but the fact that it's not in the desk area. They don't want to go into areas where there's desks.
So the common areas then?
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking they'd be in offices.
That's okay. No problem at all. It's why we're having a discussion. No problem. That's why I offered up the downstairs, because I figured nobody would be there. It is what it is. I mean, Tom had asked if I would be there. Lock and unlock after hours. They said, yes, that's fine. I'll be there to let everybody in. And then I think it's only going to be like 4 to 5 people. At least that's what they have for a head count so far. And I told them, I said, I'm just going to respectfully ask, since we are all in the public view, that we only follow all the wonderful COVID guidelines of, proper social distancing, masks, things of that nature, which they also have to follow regardless. So we'll be okay there. But anyway, I just wanted to have the discussion. If you seriously, any concerns that you have, I mean, here's the format. If we don't feel comfortable discussing it here, please feel free to give me a call. There's not a timeline on this, so you know we're not pressured into having a definitive decision tonight. I just wanted to bring it up and, you know, seriously, give us some thought, brainstorm, think about it, and just let me know. And if I don't have an answer, I can reach out to Tom, or any of you are certainly welcome to reach out to Tom Osarczyk, who's one of the two station sergeants over at the Trooper Barracks, for additional information on it.
Okay, so let me just throw this out there. So if we're allowing that for them to do that, I would also maybe ask in the future if they would perform a drill in our building without people first, and then maybe with people for a behavioral incident in the building, and maybe even help us with the fire drill. I think we're part of the emergency planning stuff. We need to have a contact with our local departments, officers and agencies, departments, and doing drills is the best way for folks to feel more comfortable when there is an incident on what they need to do, and how long is help going to be there, and what will the help do.
Yeah. So no one will be at the town hall. If this even materializes, if the troopers even said it is, no one will be at the town hall other than either myself or Sean or labor, who will let them in. And, you know, that would be it. So again, no staff would be at the town hall. It's strictly after hours, and that's that. But yes, as far as the safety plan, yeah, so we have that's a whole other separate topic, but there's employee, the town has its own safety plans, but the new New York State mandated plan, that's more for pandemics than it is anything else. Fire drills, Kathy probably remembers this fondly. I don't think any of you board members, I mean, Sandy probably even remembers. So Kathy, Sandy, and myself remember when Leo used to say, you know, kind of yell down the hallways and say, you know, fire drill, fire drill, fire drill. And, you do the drill. That is something that, truthfully, we do need to do. But yes, that is all part of this emergency plan that's mandated by New York State and the Erie County Hazard Mitigation Plan. That was a meeting last Thursday. So,
can I observe that when the troopers were using their drones at the Brinkerhoff race, it was very, very obvious that it was indeed the troopers, because there is always someone there. There's always a trooper there, able to answer any questions anybody might have.
Yeah, that's basically right. So for an example, if they were going to start the drone at the trooper barracks, fly it over to the town park, you know, theoretically, you know, one of the examples was maybe around the line shelter, have a troop car parked in front of the line shelter, have a state trooper sitting in the car, and then the person would fly from the trooper barracks over to the state park or over to the line shelter, drop down by the car to see if there's a person in the car, identify it, you know, utilize the camera. There's infrared. They got a lot of pretty cool, as I'll call it, toys on these drones. And then they'll be able to circle around the vehicle to kind of assess and look for things. So really that's the drill. It's not a lot of, you know, quote unquote, you know, some people might think law enforcement and tactical. That's not the premise here. That's not the initiative. It's just merely that stick time and maneuvering and being comfortable flying a drone in a situation so, you know, they can operate it safely. So, again, feel free to reach out to Tom, myself. No official commitment or opinion needed tonight, but, like I said, I did speak to the insurance company, and they did state that if we as a board decided to do this, while our insurance would, you know, likely cover any damage, it's obviously best to defer liability over to them. And just like we do for all of our use of facilities, require Boston, the town of Boston, be named as an additional insured on their insurance policy. So we'll be able to defer that liability right back to the troopers.
All right. I've got a question on the LED upgrades. The white light, I know it is fantastic for our main roads. Do they bring more insects to them. Because as we're looking at the Hickory Meadows and the Kevington place with more residents, it's great light at the street. I just wasn't sure if they attract more bugs at night because it is with the white light.
They are currently white light now. They were spec'd out to replace with basically an in-kind wattage and color. So that's why they're spec'd at white.
I just didn't know if anyone had any experience with that. We might.
Good question. The other thing with Hickory Meadows is its own lighting district. When that area went in, they wanted lighting over there, so they have their own district as well. I mean, if you want, I can certainly, it's up for discussion. We got a little bit of time before we roll into the board meeting. I mean, if we want a table tonight, I can try to get a number, get a quote for what it's going to cost. I'm guessing it would be like an orange type light. I guess it's just a matter of, is that what we want to go with?
Yeah, I don't mind tabling that tonight. I mean, that's fine to look at all the options.
Any other discussion or any other thoughts on the lights?
Not about lights, but I just wanted to let the board know that I hope to appoint a part-time deputy by the end of January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So there will be a learning curve with the minutes for the ZBA and the planning board. So I would just hope for some patience with that. And you might get to talk to each members of the board individually, but as a group, do you anticipate that the town hall doors will be open to the public anytime in the near future, not by appointment, but just to walking in? If not, I will need to make adjustments for tax collection.
I'll take that one because it actually falls under my state of emergency, and I will say, at least as of right now, due to the COVID numbers, the answer is no. Because if we open up the doors, I can tell you that there are employees that have expressed concern due to, I guess I'll leave it as, health conditions, and then also the additional cleaning requirements that would be putting into effect. And many other surrounding towns are also closed as well. They're by appointment only.
Okay, thank you. I just needed to know because that will, I'll need to make sure that there is a like a fluorescent colored notice in the tax bill so residents are aware.
Yep, not a problem. And then, I guess for the board, Sandy and I were talking about this a little bit the other day. And then there's a drop box out in the front of the town hall. And then I have reached out to the Erie County sign shop that Erie County DOT and other municipalities use. And we are working on getting a sign for the drop box so it's a little bit clearer, more clearly labeled for any department that where they need to advise a resident that they can simply come in, even let's say even after hours or on the weekend when nobody's there, and utilize that Dropbox to drop off correspondence or other things.
Yep, it's definitely used every day between myself and Karen. We empty, we take something out of there every day.
I'll stop in tomorrow to sign that 284 agreement. I missed signing that, Sandy.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Thank you.
All right, anything else we want to talk about? We've got about 7 minutes left.
Are we going to table that, like, Resolution 12, or what are we deciding on that?
It sounds like it, Kathy. Okay. I don't know if anybody else wants to, you know, open it up for, and again, I'm certainly open for discussion on it. But yeah, I mean, there's a recommendation to seek additional numbers. I have no problems reaching out to either the, you know, the two that did submit their quotes and see if anything changes numerically. Right, nothing else going on.
So when you, I have a quick comment regarding the streetlights in Hickory Meadow subdivision. That particular cost for Hickory Meadows would be charged specifically to that lighting district, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes,
and then correct. The other one's the general fund. I mean, it's going to be split then, I would assume.
You are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, yes. And then I guess to fill everybody in, I know some of us talked about this. The Hickory Meadow subdivision, there are actually, Kathy has been, she's been contacted by a few residents in the area. One of them is actually is a member of one of our fire companies, but this light has been out for a while, quite a while actually. And I've had Sean reach out, our laborer, reach out to a few different vendors, trying to find one that could possibly fix that. And it's a defective head unit. We actually are now up to two of them, defective head units. It is not something that NYSEG will replace because they are town-owned lights because of the part of the lighting district. So unfortunately, because they're only available in LED, if we were to replace just one or two lamps with LED, it would look, in my opinion, kind of goofy over there. And you're looking at a different type of light output, as we all know. And so, you know, the cost savings switching from the mercury vapor bulb to the, halogen bulb to the LED bulb eventually would end up, you know, helping offset some of that cost too. So it keeps some of the costs down in that lighting district at, you know, over the long haul. That was kind of the thought process there. If anybody wants to discuss or has any questions on that. Comment on that. So I'll make a I'll just go ahead and make a motion to table that tonight, and we'll hopefully get the numbers for everybody before the next board meeting. We'll see how that goes. The only other thing, you know, we got a couple minutes. The Association of Towns annual meeting, I mean, obviously, as well as all of you have regular full-time jobs. But the annual meeting for the Association of Towns is relatively inexpensive this year. I couldn't even get a one-way, in all the years that I've gone, I couldn't even get a one-way ticket to New York City for the cost of what it costs to get the entire meeting. So it is kind of virtual. And again, I don't know if people have it, you know, the time in their schedule, but it's a great opportunity for the value for the dollar. So there's my, I don't know, push for the Association of Towns on that meeting. So I know I've certainly opened it up, and again, I don't know what everybody's schedules is. It's that holiday weekend there in February, so I don't know. Again, I don't know if anybody's out of work or might be interested in going, but always a lot of good information there, and just wanted to bring that up.
As it relates to the training, I think if nobody from the board is interested in going to it, we dedicate any monies that would be spent for that training to make sure that all of the new people with the ZBA that have never attended the training out east you know, maybe we plan for an additional person to go. I believe we have three members that have never been to that meeting or seminar, training seminar. So, you know, it might be an opportunity to do that if there wasn't any interest.
Yeah, sure. The Association of Towns did have a planning board and zoning board session early, or I'm sorry, later. Yeah, January now. But anyway, they had a past training that came up. That information was forwarded out. Nothing was never came across my desk, but I can tell you that while there's a training opportunity, it was never enacted upon. So for what that's worth. I don't disagree with you, Mike. I mean, I'm a firm believer. I think all of you know, I'm a firm believer in continuing education and learning new things because things do not stay the same, especially in government. So it's just a matter of people, you know, balancing that with their work schedules and everything else going on right now. I think it's going to be the challenge. I don't know what everybody's schedule is like, but they, you know, they certainly do have their required training or their training requirements that they need to make. I don't think Sagamore is even a topic of discussion anymore due to the pandemic. I've heard already through the grapevine that Sagamore is already going to basically a virtual event. All right. Well, you know, it's just about 7:30. I think it's close enough. I don't know about everybody else's clocks here. And actually, there goes mine. It's officially 7:30 on my computer clock. So without further ado, I will call the meeting to order.
Hello, Jason. It's Bob. I'm just letting you know that I'm here for the meeting tonight.
All right, Bob. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Good to hear you.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Cardichini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic,
to its republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
All right, just in general, I see we've got a few people dialing in from a landline phone, so just a kind of general housekeeping measure there. It's *6 to mute your phone since you're dialing in from a landline phone, and it's *6 again to unmute your phone if you have anything that you'd like to discuss at the request from the floor for the session. So again, *6 to mute and *6 to unmute your phone. All right, moving right along. We have no other preliminary matters tonight under item number one. So move on to item number two, regular business. We have the correction and item number one is the correction and adoption of minutes for the January 6, 2021 meeting. And Councilman Cardichini, do you mind taking the minutes tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I've reviewed the minutes from our meeting on January 6, 2021.
This conference will now be recorded.
I find that there are no omissions or corrections required. I make a motion that we adopt them as written.
I second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number two tonight under regular business, we have the consideration of all fund bills. Councilwoman Lukacik, do you mind taking that item?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I've had an opportunity to review the entries, the journal entries, done some calculations just for verification. And I make a motion that we approve tonight's abstracts 1, 2, and 3 for the 2020 payables, the 2020 brush, and the 2021 payables. Total submitted for approval is $142,234.87.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carrick-Keady?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, moving along. Item number three for correspondence. We have three items of correspondence tonight. The first item is a letter from the Bread of Life Outreach. The second item that's been received is a letter from the Boston resident, Jay Jackson. And a third item is from the Erie County, is from Erie County, which is the award for the 2021 CDBG fund for the town of Boston. All three of those items have been received and filed. Item number four, new business. Item number one is request from the floor. It's a 3-minute time limit per person. Please, if you do choose to speak, make your name and your address after unmuting your phone. And if you're dialing in, it's *6 to unmute your phone. And when you're done speaking, it's *6 to mute your phone again. So I'll pause and anyone from the public can speak.
You're unmuted.
And town clerk, have we received any written correspondence for the open floor session?
No, Supervisor Keating, I have not received any additional written correspondence.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I thought the last time I saw them, they were in the pantry cupboard.
All right, I think we got that one. All right, so with no comments, I'm going to close the floor. So moving right along, item number 200, new business, is a use of meeting facility for Connect Life. And Councilwoman Martin, do you mind taking that item tonight?
No, thank you, Supervisor Keating. With the overwhelming response for the last blood drive in the town of Boston, Connect Life and Barbara Moore have requested additional dates for more blood drives that will be conducted between 3 and 7 p.m., but they will require the town hall community room without the kitchen from 1:30 for setup and ending at 7:45 p.m. The dates are March 11th, May 6th, July 1st, August 26th, October 21st, and December 16th. Town clerk, are those dates available for the community room?
Yes, those dates are available.
Okay, I make a motion to approve this request for Connect Life and Barbara Moore.
I'll second that.
Oops, sorry.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carrick-Keady?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number three tonight under new business is resolution 2021-09 for retention of bond counsel. And you know, Councilwoman Selby, do you mind taking that item tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor. I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 21-09, retention of the bond counsel Harris Beach as his proposal dated December 7th, 2020, giving his detailed experiences and services rendered for our capital water projects as stated in the resolution.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carrick-Keady?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number four tonight under new business, we have resolution 2021-10, which is the agreement with the Boston Free Library Association. And Councilman Carrick-Keady, do you mind taking that item tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. At this time, I'd like to introduce resolution 2021-10, which is an agreement with the Boston Free Library Association. This bill authorizes the supervisor on behalf of the town of Boston to enter an agreement that the Boston Free Library Association for the period commencing January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021, for the Boston Free Library to permit town use of its community room and to serve as an additional depository for documents filed for public inspection.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number five under new business is Resolution 2021-11. Which is the authorization for delegate to the annual meeting for the Association of Towns. Councilwoman Lukacek, do you mind taking that item tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Resolution number 2021-11 authorizes a delegate to the annual meeting of the Association of Towns. I make a motion, part of this resolution, to have Supervisor Keating, who meets the qualifications to serve as the town of Boston's delegate to attend the annual business meeting of the Association of Towns held on February 17th, 2021. I make a motion, we approve.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, item number six tonight under new business is Resolution 2021-12, which is an LED fixture upgrade for streetlights. We had some, the town board and I, we had a conversation at our work session. We want to look at a couple other opportunities. So I'd like to make a motion to table Resolution 2021-12 until a future board meeting.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number seven tonight under new business is a request from us for a second accessory building located at 7799 Lower East Hill Road. Councilwoman Martin, do you mind taking that item tonight?
Yes, thank you, Supervisor. We received a request from Mr. Patterson put in a request to add an additional covered space for yard equipment to his property at 7799 Old Lower East Hill Road. He directed it to our code enforcement officer, Mr. Ferguson, which Mr. Ferguson found no discrepancies or anything that would go against Boston zoning code. So I make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Carducchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, moving along. We have no old business tonight to discuss, so we'll move on to reports and presentations. And Highway Superintendent, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, finally, winter has come back the last few days. Between 1 and 2 feet of snow. Once again, the town plows have done a pretty darn good job. Once again, it's on the weekend of a holiday, Martin Luther King Day, all overtime for the men, just like Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So Councilwoman Martin was right. In her exact words, the highway workers are getting a shit ton of overtime, so they're all happy about that. And then I'd like to clarify a few things. And then I'd like to clarify a few things that Deputy Supervisor Hawkins said at the 12-16-2020 meeting. He talks about the double-dipping charges and back double-dipping charges back to the general fund. And, you know, that is the law. It's not my thing, double-dipping and charging back. That's the law the general fund must pay. And, I mean, Deputy Supervisor Hawkins should know that. Brush and leaf pickup is a general fund charge. He was the town supervisor at one time. He should know that. Deputy Supervisor Hawkins said it must benefit the whole town. The highway department picks up brush and leaves on every road in the town. Every road. So it does benefit everyone. In Hawkins' own words at the 12/16/2020 meeting was that the highway department is ramming it to the town taxpayers. That is definitely not true. The highway department never just goes out and rides all over town just looking for brush. That's ramming it to the taxpayers, like Hawkins said. Deputy Hawkins criticized my plow truck plowing his road on the night of the 12/16/2020 meeting. That is the same night that Councilwoman Selby called me at 5:10 p.m. saying, leave the road.
Bob, are you still there? I think your call just dropped.
He was indeed caller two, and that caller is now gone.
Yep, I agree. Thank you. Well, if he dials back in, we'll give him the floor so we don't hold up the other callers on the phone or on the call tonight. Councilwoman Selby, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor. I know what Bob was going to say because I talked to him that night, and I told him just to finish his sentence. My road was terrible that night, but my road is often not great because it's a steep road, Liebler Road. That night it was bad, but I made it up the hill. But I do want to say that lately it's been fine. It's been great, and I think Bob's been doing a good job with at least my hill and most of the roads that I've been in. So other than that, I just hope everybody stays safe with this COVID stuff because we're spiking again and it's tough. It's tough having these virtual meetings. I want to get back to personal meetings, one-on-one meetings like everybody else. So I look forward to that. In the meantime, everybody just stay safe, wear your mask, and keep your distance, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Cardichini, you have the floor.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I've got a couple things tonight. I'd like to thank Erie County Highway as well as the town highway departments for doing a great job on snow removal. We've had a lot of snow the past few days, certainly. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, I live on Boston State Road. So I notice, you know, the attention those roads get in a big storm. So I just wanted to take the opportunity and thank not only the town, but the county. You know, I know Boston State Road is a main thoroughfare to get people to and from work. I know in years past, it's really hasn't received the attention it deserves. So I wanted to point out, you know, a plus on that. In that vein, friendly reminder to residents, it is illegal to plow snow across the road of any kind. It creates a safety hazard on the road, and it also creates drainage problems when the ditches get plugged up. So that can create ice dams, which, you know, result in flooding across the road, which causes slippery road conditions. And also wanted to take the opportunity to remind people, I saw some things floating around about clearing out the hydrants around your homes. We recently had a tragic fire, you know, in North Boston, might be considered Orchard Park. But those moments that it takes to, you know, get fire apparatus, you know, hooked up and, you know, on the scene and working, you know, seconds, you know, become minutes. And, you know, if the snow is cleared out properly,
around the hydrants that makes the job of the first responders easier to hook up hoses and to get on that fire scene and hopefully are able to, you know, prevent loss of life and property. And that's the whole point. So I just wanted to take a minute and remind people of that. And I had the opportunity to participate on the emergency management conference call that we had last week with the EMT squad and the fire departments to try to craft our plan to turn into the county. I thought there was a lot of contribution from all the participants, and it was time that was well spent. I'd like to thank Jason for hosting that and, you know, all the participants. It's what makes it go around. Related to the, there was a letter that Mr. Jackson sent the board. It was directed at board members, and it was also directed at the highway superintendent. And at the end of the day, the spirit of that letter was, you know, we're elected officials. We have a job to do. We're accountable to the people. You know, we're accountable for what we do and say and how we conduct ourselves. And I'm disappointed tonight to hear the same things that we heard at the last meeting from our highway superintendent. And what resulted in that conversation during that work session was really a product of managing a budget to a line item of $50,000 and then receiving, $93,000 in change in vouchers. And that's a problem that's been a problem, and it's something that the board is trying to come to a consensus on how do we deal with this, not in just a story here, but also how do we deal with it long term, as it is something that residents have come to appreciate and depend on. And I don't find it productive or helpful to residents, fellow elected officials, when we use the reporting section of this meeting to air those things out. You know, I know every board member on the town board currently is available to people, is available for conversations, certainly welcomes the conversations from, you know, the highway superintendent or any person out there. But I will offer this. The town board did learn from a member of the highway department that the trucks were being sent out when there were things that needed to be picked up. And I also understand fully that the highway superintendent doesn't always control the weather or what happens with storms or things of that nature. So there's a lot of leeway there, and there's a lot of, you know, ability to manage the program. But it's not a blank check to, you know, exceed a budget line item by $43,000 plus. So I would implore our highway superintendent to reread the letter from Jay Jackson, which was really kind of a call to arms of, hey, we're all in this together and we all play for the same team. We're all trying to affect things in the town in a positive way. And when those things get aired out during a report, I just don't think it's true to the spirit of serving. And with that, I'll end my report tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. I just want to add, I did see, and I'm wondering if this is the highway superintendent who just dialed back in. I just wanted to add, in regards to what Councilman Cardichini had referred to, if any residents want some information, and he is right, it's been, you know, this has been circulating around on Facebook, but on the town Facebook page, Town of Boston, NY, there is the Clear a Hydrant Challenge that was posted out there this afternoon. Something that's kind of brought to our attention through our fire departments. We did tag all of our local fire departments. They're kind of the ones that got the ball rolling on this. So, in support of this, further information is out there on that Clear a Hydrant Challenge. So, yeah, I think it's a great initiative, and I couldn't agree with Councilman Cardichini more. It was a very sad, tragic event that, happened literally just on the outside of the border of the town, and I hope and pray it never happens here. So, Highway Superintendent, was that you that just dialed back in? If so, you do have the floor.
Yes, it is. I don't know if I lost the call or if you cut me off, but yeah, it's me.
I didn't cut you off. I promise.
My call got failed, so I'd like to know if I can finish my report.
Absolutely. You have the floor. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. Yes, and that is, like I said, it was the same night that Councilwoman Kathy Selby called me at 5:10 p.m. saying that Liebler Road was very slippery and needed salting. It's the same night that Hawkins called me, or was Hawkins, was only 1 or 2 inches on his road, but it was early in the day. It was around 6 to 6:30 when people are coming home from work. And our policy is, depending on the time of day, if there's an inch or two of snow, we call the men in. I mean, they're coming home from work. There's no sense waiting until 9, 10 o'clock and call them in when everybody's home. So Councilman Tartakini talked about how we're sticking it to the taxpayers, you know, at the 12-16 meeting. That is, the highway workers didn't have nothing to do, that the workers just randomly were sent out looking for brush. That is totally, totally not true. The highway department has plow trucks that are 22 years old, 25 years old, 19 years old, 17 years old, and two that are 12 years old, and a snowblower that is 45 years old. We always have work to do on our equipment. We just don't send the guys out riding around looking for brush. There's always maintenance to do on all the equipment. This year, the workers totally rebuilt the salt box on the 1996 plow truck, saving the taxpayers approximately $40,000. There is always work to be done. The workers are never just sent out riding around, sticking it to the taxpayers. And I know the town board, if the town board thinks that the highway department is sticking it to the town, maybe they should put enough money into the brush budget, or maybe bid it out and have somebody outside pick up the brush. It's a lot of work, and the men would be thrilled if somebody else could do the work. I mean, we're, you know, picking up brush isn't a good job, and the men don't care to do it. But if they think it's cheaper, they could also bid it out. The amount, $50,000, is not nearly enough. We all know that. It's been like that for years. 2019 cost was $80,632. 2020, $93,504. And that's a lot because of the COVID, where the men were all supposed to be in separate trucks that couldn't ride together. So once again, 2020, what's the price? $50,000. There's no way that we can do that. So it's just the town board needs to put more money in that. The brush pickup is April, May, September, and October, which are a regular brush pickup season. Residents must cut the brush in 4-foot length and bundle it for the regular brush trash pickup. Please call the supervisor and let them know what you think, because if it's out of the brush season, we're told not to pick it up and they got to bundle it. Well, you know, that's all I really have for tonight. I could go on, but, you know, the town board has the general fund. We all know that. Brush pickup, $50,000, is not nearly enough. And it's right in the state controller's opinion that the town highway money can't be spent on a general fund charge. So you can't charge other highway accounts for the brush pickup, which is a general fund charge. So that's all I have tonight. And all I have to say is go Bills and have a good evening. Thank you.
Hey Jason, can I just weigh in on that? I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of, you know, playing games with this, but, you know, when we had our budget work session, which was before we passed the budget, the spirit of that meeting, that meeting, if I'm not mistaken, was close to 3.5 hours long. And one of my takeaways from that meeting was I felt it was probably one of the most productive and thorough meetings that we had had to date during my term. I mean, there was a lot of thoughtful discussion in that. At that point in time, there was a lot of, you know, conversation about the budget, about the line items, and that's a perfect opportunity to have those conversations about the budget. When we were discussing brush and leaf pickup, you know, I recall those conversations were, you know, initiated in the spirit of solving it long term. I think we all can agree that, you know, that is something that we need to address on a long-term basis
so that it can be managed cost effectively and efficiently for the highway department, but also without additional expense to the town. And so, you know, that's the time when you come to the table with real, you know, real ideas and real solutions on how to address it. I know that one of the initiatives with the county, because there are towns in Erie County that don't have enough of this material, that would gladly take it. The only expense we would bear would be to transport it, which, you know, I don't think that that's an unreasonable ask. But that's what the letter that we received from Jay Jackson was really about, is at the end of the day, you can argue and fight over a budget line item. The bottom line is if it's the highway superintendent's department to run and manage the budget accordingly to what is set and agreed upon, then you have to operate within the scope of that. And I don't think that there's anybody on this board currently that wouldn't be open to that conversation in real time. I mean, I'm certainly not opposed to that, but let's, instead of, you know, arguing about it and getting nowhere with it, and ultimately the resident pays for that, you know, you come together and you solve the problem. You set aside differences that you may have, and you get busy on the work of the town. I mean, that's what that letter was about. So that, I just wanted to bring that into the conversation. It doesn't do any good to set a budget and then exceed it year after year after year. And rather than kick the can down the road, you know, let's figure out what the solution is long term and move in that direction. I think we can achieve that.
Okay, what is the recommendation and what is the solution to solve the problem? There's not enough money. There's too much brush, too much leaves. It isn't getting rid of the product that's the problem, giving it to the county or other towns. That's not the problem. It's the time it takes to go out and chip the brush or pick up the leaves. It doesn't really cost nothing to drive down the street and dump the wood chips at some resident's house is what we do. So that's not the problem. The problem, there's too much brush, too much leaves, not enough money. And I've been telling you that for years and years. And just like this year, the last 2 years we've gone over, and what you do this year? $50,000. Same thing. So I don't know what you think. If you can tell me how to cut the cost, let me know. We'd be glad to try to do it. Thank you.
Bob, you have my word. If you're interested in sitting down and working together on this and looking at how the math got to $93,500 on a $50,000 line item in a budget, man, you have my phone number. Call it. Let's sit down and look at it together.
Sit down and talk. We can sit down and talk. That's fine. Mark Chitty was the one that kept track of every day, all the sheets. We'll sit down with Mark Chitty and we can go over this, but there's no way with labor costs and equipment costs and fuel costs and the amount of time it takes to do it any cheaper. But if you can come up with a plan, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Well, it's not my department to run, but I'm interested in trying to solve it long term. And that only happens when two parties come together. So I'm more than open to sitting down and looking at this, bringing it back to the board, and let's figure it out. I mean, hey, this is available to me, and I've never placed, I put out branches, but it's not something I use. But it is something I'm interested in solving for the town without any additional expense. But yeah, let's sit down and talk about it.
All right.
Okay, I'm up for that.
All right, I'm just going to interject here. You know, this is something we can certainly discuss, and, you know, we certainly have the opportunity to have, you know, budget discussions, many opportunities here that we've discussed, you know, opportunities that have gone by in the past, budget presentations, et cetera. Well, let's take this offline. This is a report and presentation, not necessarily this session to go back and forth. So, you know, I respect all of your opinions, and let's put our heads together and work on a plan on this one. So, moving along, Councilwoman Lukacek, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Just wanted to remind our residents, no matter if you are on a town road or a county road, do not plow snow. Just like Councilman Cardicani had mentioned, do not plow snow into the road. On Zimmerman, there were a few folks that had done that, and there were mounds of snow. So I had stopped by their houses. I'm sure they were so happy to hear from me. But I stopped by their houses and politely asked if they can remove that when they catch their breath and from removing the snow in their driveways. And please make sure your mailboxes are also clear so the emergency crews can see the address if they need to respond to your house, as well as fire hydrants. So thank you for your assistance, and that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Martin, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor. I'm only going to second on everything Mike Cardichini has said. I agree with him wholeheartedly. And Jen Lukacek took the words out of my mouth about cleaning out the mailboxes so emergency crews can see people's numbers, because on my street alone, pretty much all of them are covered with snow and you can't read anybody's house number. So definitely a good thing in this COVID problem, so that emergency crews can get through and can find your house if they need to. That's all I have tonight.
Thank you very much. Madam Clerk, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. The Town Clerk's 2020 annual report is available in that Town Board packet that has been provided. And moving on to 2021, we're gearing up for the Town and County tax collection, and I would anticipate the tax bills will be mailed mid-February as they have been in the past. And as always, residents, please reach out to my office with questions. And if needed, we will certainly set up an appointment for service. That is all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I've got a few things I had. We'd approved the youth facility for Connect Life tonight. I received a call. I don't know about our town clerk, but I received a call from Connect Life, and they are once again, of course, thrilled at the fact that we broke a record. They're looking to break yet another record here in the town of Boston. And I'm very happy to at least announce so far there were only three openings for this upcoming blood drive. So I encourage people to sign up for those three spots. Let's fill them up. If so, we will yet again break another record for Connect Life. This is something that is attributed to everyone in our community who participates in this. I know our town clerk and one of our residents work very hard at this, as does Connect Life. But this would not be a success without everyone in our community coming together, especially in the current pandemic world that we're all living through. So I just want to express my thanks, because we continue to literally save lives and just continue to lead the way on blood drives. So, to our community, thank you. We merely provide the facility, and the town board, approves that use facility. But if it wasn't for the residents, we wouldn't be doing that. So thank everyone for that. I thank everyone for that. I do hope we fill that event and break yet another record. On the topic of medical vaccines, I just want to touch base on, I brought this up with if anyone was dialed into the work session prior to the town board meeting, the town of Boston does not currently administer vaccines. This is something being handled at the county level. I don't want to rehash what is already out in the media / social media regarding vaccine supply and the appointments. But there are two links out on the town website. I highly encourage anyone interested that is interested in having a vaccine to please go to the townofboston.com website, click on the COVID link that's been there throughout the pandemic, which is the red icon at the top, and you will see two links on there. One is a New York State link that provides information, and you can get additional updates regarding the vaccines and the schedule. And there's a direct link to Erie County Department of Health, where they will notify you for the vaccine. So currently, those are the two tools that we have to offer. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of additional information. That's what was provided to myself and other supervisors at last week's call with the county executive and other subsequent calls with New York State. As more information comes out, I will be sure to keep the town website and Facebook link, or page, I should say, updated.
Unfortunately, I know I've had a few residents, I guess I'll say for the record, I've had a few residents call my office and ask if we can send out like letters or memos of these things. And sadly enough, things change so fast in this environment right now that by the time we were to draft a letter, put it in the mail, mail it out, et cetera, it's in some cases almost outdated the moment it hits the mailbox. So I will apologize for that. I wish there was a better way to communicate with the community. But as always, feel free to utilize the town hall or my office as a point of contact. Any information that I have, I will, again, try to keep out on the town website and the town Facebook page. I know not everyone has access to the internet. Again, that's one of the challenges that we have here in our current environment. But we're trying to keep that information out and get that information out as quickly and as clearly and concisely as possible. So that is the update on vaccines. Councilman Cardichini and I were on a call last Thursday regarding the New York State mandated emergency plan that has to be filed with the unions by February, all labor unions across New York State by February 4th. So anyway, the town of Boston is working on getting that completed. Great conversation, and I certainly thank all the first responders and emergency services that had dialed into that call, and of course, Councilman Cardichini for his support on that as well. I do have a call this upcoming Friday with Erie County regarding their hazard emergency plan. Again, this is something that all municipalities across the county are involved with. We are working on evacuation routes for the town of Boston. And, again, this pandemic, there's been a lot of lessons learned, and I'm sure there will be many more lessons learned as this is learning and growing experience for all of us right now. But without the planning, this one of those postmortem. Assessments. As we learn more, we just try to continue to do better. So that is the other one of the other things that I've been working on. It's taken up, truthfully, it takes up a lot of time. We're working with all these entities trying to, compile these plans and reports. We did have a drainage meeting. I know this has been discussed a few times at the town board meetings, but we've been working with Lavella, our engineer, regarding drainage. We were hoping to have some it's called GIS data and mapping accomplished in relatively near future, and then that will then roll up to our townwide drainage plan slash report, which will put us in good position for any future grant opportunities when we're working with a town grant writer. So we have a plan already in place, and we're not being reactionary to a grant, and we can have that plan ready to go, partner with a grant writer, hopefully secure some funding to offset costs associated with working on drainage and erosion in the town. That is all I have tonight. Thank you, everyone. As Councilwoman Selby stated, please stay safe. The numbers are on an uptick. I'm not going to belabor the point here, but please wear a mask, practice that physical distancing, and please stay safe, because the numbers are starting to increase with the second variant. We are seeing it, and it's starting to affect more and more people. So please be safe out there. And I will call the meeting to a close at 8:10 p.m.
I'll second.
Thank you.
It should have been a motion. My fault. Sorry.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.